Verse 3 is the verse I want to draw your attention to for a wee while this morning. Verse 3 of chapter 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." You could tie that verse in with verse 1 where it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." We'll have a wee word of prayer together. The title of my sermon this morning is simply, "It is praise." That's just what we want to talk about. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your presence here this morning already. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised to be one of our number. Thank you too that thy word is always for our benefit. But Lord, we recognize that as we preach, sometimes it, Lord, seems to be just that word in season that someone needs to hear. Pray that that might be the case this morning too. Lord, that it would be helpful to us all, and especially helpful to those who need that word from the Lord in any particular area of their life at this time. Do undertake for us now. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that your word will not return to thee void. Bless it now and use it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes when you're talking to people, you think, well, there's a person and they would tell me that they do not worship or praise anything or anyone. Well, that would be, in the large majority of instances, untrue. Because even in the most remote areas of the world, people worship something. They look to something, and in their own way, by worshipping it, they praise it. You could think of those who have become famous in the eyes of the world, and how fame has become, it's become an addiction for them. I remember seeing a young girl on a program one time where there were those who were auditioning for a particular role in a film, and she failed, and she was absolutely and completely devastated, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but she used words to the effect that her life was over because she didn't make it. Such was her worship of fame. Power is another thing. Men in power in various countries even today are allowing things to happen to their own people which, when they were ordinary men and women in the street, perhaps they would not have allowed to happen. But they're power hungry. And if that means that innocent men and women have to suffer in order for you to keep that power, well, when push comes to shove, that's the way it's going to be as far as some are concerned. We don't need to mention money. Everybody is very aware. You can think of individuals, and money not only motivates their whole life, but it is certainly the object of their worship. Now, the word worship and the word praise, sometimes we tend to interchange them a little bit. If you were to look at a dictionary for the word praise, you may find that it means to honour. It means to glorify. People do that with fame and money and power. But it also means to worship. So really, praising is to worship. And whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to this church at Philippi, a young church, maybe 10 years old, he said to them here, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus." Now, if you were to turn to your Bible to Romans chapter 2, I'll read the verse for you. You can read it at home. Romans chapter 2 and verse 29, it says there, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God." This verse, when you tie it in with what the Bible teaches concerning circumcision, which was emphasized so much by so many, you understand that the words here in Romans chapter 2 are to do with conversion. A man or woman who is born again of God's Holy Spirit. And that is what, again, what Paul emphasizes in verse 3. He says they worship God in the Spirit. Now, if you had time, if we had time this morning, we could go down through Romans chapter 8. Maybe you'll read that chapter sometime at home. You'll see it is a very big subject when we think of praise or indeed worship. It's a very big subject and one that we need to look at. There's very much these days which is passed off as Christian worship. Things that, while we don't want to be seen as negative or critical all the time, things that we would place a question mark over. Now, it's very important that we remember just at this point the importance of praise or worship. Do you remember how many chapters, I can't remember just how many it is in the Bible, but there are lots of them, maybe over 40, that have a great deal of detail regarding the tabernacle in the wilderness, where the Lord was to be worshipped and praised. And worship is something which is very, very important. It is something, this worship of God is something which would ought to involve our whole life and every part of our being. Romans 12 and 1 comes to mind. If you look over there, again I'll read it for you. Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present means to yield or to hand over. Hand over yourself a living sacrifice. Really means living slain. I think I've mentioned it before, but he's really saying here, you want to be a busybody in the right sense, in that you're busy for the Lord. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There are many, many other verses in God's word that show us that worship is to be something which is part of the Christian's life. A very important part. And praise is to be something which is a very important part of the Christian's life. Now the Hebrew word that is translated praise in your Bible is the word yada, which it really means to stretch out the hand. Sometimes you saw those who worship and they worship with hands uplifted like this. Well, it means to stretch out the hand, and the thought of many commentators, and I think they're probably right, is that it means the thought of stretching out an empty hand. In other words, it also carries the meaning, some say, of letting everything else go. And sometimes, as Christians, when we want to worship the Lord and praise Him, we've just got so many worries. Things that concern us. Speaking to a person not all that long ago, and they said, well, they have a few difficulties and so on, but they just said, well, I'm not making excuses, but I can hardly more than pray. And I can't really praise the Lord, words to that effect, that I would really, in the way that I want to. And you and I can identify with that kind of feeling. Come to church when we really want to worship the Lord and know His blessing in our own hearts. We want to worship Him with all of our being. We want to worship Him in a way that we believe is in keeping with His word, and to praise the Lord for all that He's done, because we don't deny that He's done so many things for it. But sometimes it's just a bit hard, because with so many cares and burdens and worries and concerns. Over there in the Psalm 148, this is what it says in verse 12. Psalm 148, verse 12. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. I've read those verses because you will see that everyone is included. Good to be in the place. Of course, you can worship and praise the Lord anywhere. But it's good to be gathered among people who of like precious faith to praise the Lord and to worship Him. So I want this morning, what time we have left, to look at this praise. I want first of all to try and it'll have to be brief, to answer the question, what is praise? Well, the Apostle Paul here, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, he said, we are the circumcision. He was emphasizing the importance of this work in the heart, the inner work, not the outer work, which was emphasized so much, who worship in the Spirit, that is, in the Spirit of God. And as we've already said, it bears repetition, a person, if they are to worship, must worship God with his heart. It's not a matter of who would be the best or the most acceptable singer, but or indeed preacher, but rather it's worshiping with the heart. I can think of a meeting I was in years ago. I think it was a memorial service to someone. In fact, I'm almost sure it was that I knew, and I was at it, and there was this man, and oh, he had to make sure that he said a louder amen than everybody else, and everybody would hear him. I can tell you a few things about him. Without trying to be too critical, you wouldn't need to be too critical to know a lot of things about him, and a lot of times outside the church service, he wasn't amen, and I can assure you. You see, worship of the heart is what is emphasized. Over in John's Gospel, I'll read the verse for you for the sake of time. Chapter 4, in the verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know that the Lord in this passage has been talking to the woman of Samaria, who has been so darkened and so confused, and she is familiar with the kind of worship. But now the Lord she's been saved, and the Lord is just about to use her for her whole, to see many of her whole city won to the Lord. He says, they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, a true worshipper is one whose worship is in keeping with the truth of God, that is God's word. Because if we are to worship the Lord from our hearts, and worship in the spirit, and worship in the way that Paul is teaching the Philippian church here, then it has to be in keeping with the word of God. There's no getting away from that. Now, I know that in different cultures and different parts of the world, people perhaps have things in their worship, and well, they don't have them in Galilee, that's all I say. And I'm not being critical of those people. But I'm saying that the Lord has given us his word, and in his word, we are directed regarding worship. I might say, first of all, that worship ought to be something that warms your heart. It ought to be something that warms your heart. It would be very easy to go through a cold formal meeting and have loads of people singing, all with good singing voices, have a very eloquent speaker in the pulpit and someone who could say the right things, and to go out with your heart every bit as cold as perhaps you felt you come in, and to not to have felt that the Lord drew near to you and warmed your heart. Paul actually puts this in writing when he's writing to the church at Rome, or similar thoughts. In Romans again, in chapter 5, it says there in the verse 5, do you remember we looked at this chapter? It's a lovely chapter, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to motivate us to want to praise the Lord and to worship him. But verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The word shed abroad literally means the love of God is poured forth in our hearts. That's what it means. In our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And when the love of God, brethren and sisters, is shed abroad or poured forth in our hearts, that ought to, in itself, not only stir our hearts, but it ought to warm our hearts. And when we come in a worship time like this, we're thinking about the Lord and what he has done. And when we consider that, our love towards him can, as it were, be kindled up a little bit. Many cares during the week and responsibilities, maybe things that troubled you, and you've come along today and you'd love to worship the Lord, but you would love to feel the warmth and to worship him in a way that your heart would be warmed. Well, that ought to be the experience. But whenever sometimes people think, well, I want my heart warmed, I want to feel happy. I was in St. Eve last night. Sorry. It was a carry out, actually, take away. But just the Chinese girl opened the door, and I said, that's a nice day, isn't it? And she said, oh, yes, very nice. Makes you very happy. And I thought to myself, you know, it's a lovely day, but I wouldn't really say that it made me any more happy. But I knew what you meant. But the danger is that when you think of wanting your heart warmed in worship, we try to think of the word warmth as being synonymous with happy. And there's a danger there, because you can begin to err and to turn away from the word, and to be involved in things which are not orderly. Psalm 47, it says there, Psalm 47, again I'll read it for you, it says in verse 7, it says there, and this is, I don't know how people get around verses like this when there is confusion. And people say, oh, I don't know what's happening, but God is working. That's all I know. I don't know. I can't explain it. God's working. He's working. Would you look at everybody? Well, you need to know. Because it says there in Psalm 47 and verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises. There is the praises. With understanding. You see, praise and worship is never to be something which is out of control. It's never to be something that we can't understand. And I'm sure some of you, as I could go to places today and say, well, they've got things going on there and they can't really explain it. And the pastor, whoever he is, he'll say, well, I can't really explain it. All I know is that God's working. Look at everybody, how happy they are. Aye, but are you praising the Lord with understanding? That's what the Bible says. One meeting I heard of years ago where the local GP, he was up barking like a dog, down on all fours. You know one or two GPs, you wouldn't want them to be doing that in a church meeting. Go to the pastor, as I would like to have done, and ask him, can you explain that? And I say, well, I don't really understand it. All I understand is that God's working. Well, I will stick my neck out and say, God wasn't working when that was taking place. That is the danger, brethren and sisters. We want our hearts to be warmed, but having your heart warmed is not necessarily synonymous with what the world calls happiness. And perhaps it's a little bit more than happiness. There's another verse over there in 1 Corinthians. You could look at these in greater detail yourself at home. 1 Corinthians 14 and the verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. Now we're not going to take time to go into this verse in great detail, but we would always want to have the spirit of prayer, as it's called, and to pray in the Spirit, and that is good. It has never happened in my experience here, and only in one other occasion, another place, where people have begun to cut each other to pieces in the prayer meeting. And that is not praying in the Spirit. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're seeking the Lord through the leading of a Spirit for what the needs of the work, or to thank Him, things like that. It says here, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit. Those who say to you, oh, He's praying in tongues. You say, well, could you explain to me what he's saying? I can't really understand it, but I just know this. Look at the expression on his face, how happy he is. Brothers and sisters, we would be totally opposed to anything like that. And the sad fact today is that error is being taken on board more and more and more. Most people here know about the Westminster Confession of Faith. Maybe you have a little copy at home. They've been provided out there from time to time on the desk. We'll leave a few more out and we'll get them soon. But in the Westminster Confession of Faith, it says in chapter 2, the acceptable way of worshipping the true God is instituted by himself and so limited by his own revealed will that he may not be worshipped according to the suggestions of Satan. These notes, things I mentioned earlier. Under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scripture. And I agree with that. If we want to worship the Lord and have our hearts warmed, we would want to be worshipping in accordance with the teaching of the Bible. If God is worshipped in the Spirit, then the external circumstances, that is, our attitude, our behaviour, and all of those things will be regulated. They'll be regulated by a rule that was brought to the attention of the church here at Corinth when Paul was writing to them. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians. You know you like to think that everyone listened and thought, well, Paul knows, and he's doing this so that he can help us, but maybe not everybody looked at him that way. Maybe they thought, well, here's a crank, and he just doesn't want to be part of the spirit of things. Well, he didn't want to be part of the spirit of things as it was, but he wanted to help them. And he loved them for the Lord and in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, he said, let all things be done decently and in order. You can read the preceding verses there. For instance, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion. Please note that. God is not the author of confusion. So when people are rolling about or jumping about, whatever the case may be, and you say, please, what are you doing? They can't understand that the Lord has come near and touched me, and I never felt like this before, but I can't understand it. You remember this. God is not the author of confusion. So whenever we are worshipping in the Spirit in accordance with the teaching of God's Word, our whole behaviour will be regulated by the Word. And you'll see that this relates to the act of worship itself. Nothing should be introduced but that which is authorised by the Scriptures. You see, whenever you come to pray in the meetings here, you're actually praising the Lord. Aren't we coming with no goodness in ourselves, and we're really holding out the hand, as the word yada means, praise. We're saying, Lord, we just come, want to thank you. Don't want to be thinking about anything else. Thank you for all that you have done, for saving me, and for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. Prayer is an very important part of the praise of the church. Singing is as well. I know there are places where singing is almost looked upon disdainfully. I love singing. I'm not a good singer, as you well know, but I love listening to singing. And we get quite a few singers along here, and I look forward to a gospel mission, but I love to hear everybody singing when they come along to sing as well. Well, if you look in Zechariah chapter 3, I think it was our motto text one year, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. So God's not against singing. Singing is a very important part of praise, I do believe. And whether we're singing the Psalms, as we try to do, or singing the hymns. And I'm sure you've went along singing in your own heart something that's neither in the psalm book nor in the hymn book. But the Lord knows. And that is an important part of praise. Prayer is important. The singing is important. Preaching is important if it's word-centered. Because you're actually praising the Lord. And you're giving worship to him. And you're asking him to use his word to help people in order that through their lives they may be enabled to glorify him more and more. A prominent feature of our worship, brethren and sisters, ought to be reverence. Now when people I'm certainly not speaking about Akali, but if people are sour and hardly speak to you and grumping and don't want to be friendly and all of that, you could think, why bar? People have actually said that to me. I'm not going to say anything more than that. They've went places and said, well, why bother? We're not into that. But in worship, and why we do laugh together and have good times of fellowship that are, you'll hear people laughing and so on, if they're talking after the meeting, all of that is very good. Worship is to be reverence. It is to be reverent. And offered to the Lord in a reverent way. So our outward behavior is joined with the inward worship of our hearts. The two go together. A person cannot be jumping around in a hysterical way, something that they themselves cannot understand, and say to me, well, I'm worshipping the Lord really, really reverently in my own heart just at this moment in time. Don't know what I'm doing right enough, but I'm worshipping him anyway. It says there in Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee and will sing praise to thy name. Those are great words, but note, with the whole heart. And when you're worshipping the Lord and praising the Lord with the whole heart, your heart will be warmed, I trust. And there will be order and reverence in our worship. And also we can say that this worship that we talk about, or this praise, it is assisted by the Spirit. I mentioned to you people who just feel that everybody can feel down at times. People who feel, well, it's quite hard to praise the Lord just at the moment. I'm worrying about certain things. Maybe you're just weary, emotionally drained, mentally tired because of your work even. Maybe spiritually you feel a little bit worn out on the service you've come to even this morning, for all I know. It might not be the blessing to you that you wanted it to be. And you've come and you're feeling down. You just cannot feel that you can praise the Lord in the way that you would want to. Well, Romans 8 shows us that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. God, the Holy Spirit, can assist us in praising the Lord. And again, that's where so many errors creep in, and people who, some of them who should have known better, are involved in all this hype and got up performances and all of this. The question we want to ask ourselves is this morning is, did we come expecting to meet with the Lord and to be blessed in our own souls, to be refreshed? Weakness is not a barrier. Weakness and failure, even in the past, to praise the Lord in the way that you would want to, is not a barrier to acceptable worship today and enjoying all the benefits of praising the Lord. If you were to take that word, yadah, praise, and to trace it through your Bible, you would be amazed at how many times it is mentioned. You think of the Psalms themselves, how many times you find the word praise there. And maybe you're come this morning, you say, well, Mr. Salt, I know what you're saying. You're trying to help us. You want me to enjoy the warmth of the Lord's presence, worship soberly and yet joyfully, and to enjoy all of that. Maybe your problem is that you're feeling as if it all depends on you, that you're just not in the right frame of mind. Something has disturbed your thinking. Maybe there's some wee thing, and it's just a burden, and it's been bringing you to that point where you could easily leave with your head hanging down. We don't want that to be your experience. But rather, as you think of praise, what is it? It is worshipping the Lord and praising Him according to His Word. With all of your heart. Reverently. Orderly. In a way that is acceptable to Him. And you can do that, first of all, just by thanking Him this morning. If you can't, because of weariness or being emotionally drained, whatever, say anything, or just say, Lord, thank you for ever saving me and for all that the Lord has done for me. And even that can help you. We've said enough, I think, about what praise is. We must move on here because time is moving on. But notice what to avoid. I've already mentioned in this, he says there, that we have no confidence in the flesh. That's Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. All through the epistles, you will read about the flesh. It reminds us of the old man, who is very much alive, and we know that very well from time to time. It comes and opposes us in, it's remarkable how when you seem to be getting a little bit of victory, that the old man rises up at some unexpected place and he opposes you. And as we read in Galatians, the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, or the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and so on. Spiritual progress will be opposed. Spiritual praise will be opposed. The flesh will say, but it needs to be some kind of a thing where I can feel that it's me. I've already mentioned that. You feel as if it all depends upon you. Well, it doesn't all depend upon you. We have no confidence in the flesh. But rather, he says here, we rejoice. The thought there surely is of praising the Lord, because the word rejoice means boast. See people boasting about things all the time. Well, here's someone who's boasting, and it's good boasting. And rejoice or boast in Christ Jesus. You can do that right now. Boast in Him because of all that He has promised to be to you. And that is, brethren and sisters, where as individuals in the denomination we need to stay. Boasting in Him. Not in anything else. You know, one of our older retired ministers one time went somewhere on holiday, and he was talking to a man. He says, where do you go? And he said, told him where he went. He says, our man, he says, the amount of degrees he has, is, he says, does he tell you need to be saved? He said, well, he's a very good speaker and a very able speaker, and All of those things. We need to make sure that our boast is not our minister. And our boast is not our denomination, but rather our boast is Jesus Christ. And whenever a person is saved, and you find yourself in a place of despondency, we tend to rely on the flesh. And you've heard the saying, give yourself a shake. There's plenty of people in Northern Ireland who need to do that. They're just lazy. Don't want to do anything. But when it comes to this, brethren and sisters, it's not a matter of giving yourself a shake. Feeling weakness is a natural thing for a Christian. And it's not unique to you. I want you to know that. And the thing to avoid is this, relying upon the flesh. And don't be trying to work out a strategy how you can become strong and fervent and enthusiastic and all of those things. Working, thinking those things out just by themselves will profit you nothing. The answer is found over in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and it's verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word wait, maybe I've mentioned it before, the word wait means to steadily and patiently waiting until something is effected. It also means to trust, to rely totally on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Here is a tremendous aspect of renewing spiritual strength. Or even, brethren and sisters, I don't know your situation. Maybe something's upsetting you. Maybe it's not something that's life-threatening or anything like that, but it's upsetting you anyway. And I say that as your friend because we've all been there. And it's led to a bit of emotional imbalance. Gnawing you. Getting you down. Preventing you from praising the Lord in the way that you want to. But here's the answer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You'll recover spiritual strength there and even recover emotional balance as well. Rest in the Lord. Keep looking to Him. The flesh will profit you nothing. It's Him. And keep your eyes upon Him. And that is why we encourage you to come along to the meetings of the church. It's good to be there. I would say that every Christian here that comes to the meetings anyway regularly at all, there's been those times when you think, well, maybe I don't really feel it going today. And then you come and you said, I'm glad I went. It's good to be there to worship the Lord, good to fellowship with God's people and open the Bible together. Because the Lord met with us as we worshipped Him. There's another thought here regarding this praise. And that is this. We ought to enjoy praising the Lord. See, if we praise the Lord or sing to in a way that is just carried out because it's done there, or everybody else seems to be doing it, then we won't really enjoy it. You see what the apostle says here in verse 3? He says, rejoice or boast in Christ Jesus. And if you're rejoicing in Christ Jesus, you are saved, you are kept by God's grace, you have nothing to boast in of yourself, but rather you have everything to boast in Him. I should have said that the word boast there actually means to be proud of or to talk loudly about. The Lord has stirred your heart and encouraged you and you want to talk about Him. When you're weary and emotionally drained and mentally exhausted, you'll probably not want to talk about Him. And there'll not be that note of praise in your life. So in true worship, there is genuine delight in His person. That's what I'm thinking of. Again, we think of some of these places where there's so much hype and got up performance and there's so much emptiness as far as I can see. And there's very little made of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is holy and sinless, the one who was our substitute and died for us, the one who has saved us by His grace, the one who intercedes for us now as our great high priest, the one who's coming again for His own people. The one who's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you've got a brother, I hope they're good to you and friendly with you. I'm fortunate. I have them as well. But as the hymn writer says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And whenever we worship, we'll enjoy it if we focus upon his person. And when you focus upon his person, then you will want to boast or rejoice in him. Talk about him. Tell others about him as well. We're not speaking here about something that is superficial or even a superficial joy, a giddiness, a show in the flesh, but we're speaking of worshipping according to the teaching of God's word. We didn't have time to go into all of that praying and praising, singing and preaching. And in all of these things, seeking to glorify the Lord and bring praise to him. Now, when you think of the person of Christ, and I'm going to have to just mention this before I close, you think of the goodness that is in him. Look at Psalm 107, and you will see that four times, verse 8, 15, 21, 31, it speaks about praise the Lord for his goodness. Four times in that psalm. For all the benefits that flow from him, but not only the goodness that is in him, the goodness that we can expect from him. If you're despondent now, expect to be encouraged. There's a time of barrenness in the country. Expect revival. Expect blessing at the mission. All of those things that we can rightly expect from him. And that is truly delighting in the Savior. And that strengthens you. And encourages you in the way. Because we're delighting not in fleshly ability. But rather we're delighting in him. So Christ is suitable for real needs. And only him. Only he is suitable for real needs in the context which we're speaking about this morning, that is praising the Lord. I'm going to finish with this. Someone said that if you take a man who's very, very hungry indeed and you put him in a mansion house and you go and get the latest clothing, the very most expensive you can get, and put it on him, and you get all the money you have in the bank, if you have any, you get it all out and you put it in his pockets, all of that will do him no good if you don't feed him, because remember, he's hungry. He's a starving man. And we have a place to worship today. We're all here, well dressed. We've been have ability to come here as far as health and strength is concerned. But the Lord would have us to feed upon him. Because we're here, because we're hungry. And we want to see the Lord. I trust that we'll be able to do that more and more. We could have an awful lot more than we could have said. Maybe I should take time just to turn you to one more reference in 1 Corinthians there. And it's chapter 1. This will be the last one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Lovely verses. Remember what we said. We need to be feeding upon him. It says there, and again, Paul was writing to this church with many difficulties, to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And brethren and sisters, that is where we need to be continually. Seeking to glory in him. You'll do that when you praise him. I trust that the Lord will help us today. Maybe you have come with concerns and you haven't been able to worship the way you would like to. But I trust you will be able to. That the Lord will give you the help that we spoke about. And that as a church we continue to worship the Lord according with the teaching. And praise him in accordance with the teaching of his word.